everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for clicking on the Holderness Family Podcast.
Yeah, there is some clicking that you have to go through, so I really appreciate the effort.
We're in the digital age, Kim, where you know, we're not listening to the radio as much as we are on the digital parts of our lives. We're with it. We are techno savvy on this podcast, except for the fact that we aren't compared to most people who are younger than us.
Oh, right? Thanks. Let's not say it's an age thing, because I think there's some people older than us that have grasped this. Anyway, you're gonna get what we're throwing down in a second. Thanks for joining us. Leaving a review really helps us.
It does.
And I, again, hate to ask, but here's a recent review. And it's so cringy to read these out loud, but it helps other people leave reviews.
Do you want me to do it? You like it when I do it, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
I actually, like, I'm okay with this. It makes me, it's like a little endorphin release when you hear that somebody actually appreciates what you do. So thank you so much for saying these things, and we feel heard, and we love you guys. This review from Surferfus, S-U-F-R-F-S. I love this family. This podcast is super funny while causing you to reflect on relationships and self. I appreciate their authenticity and support of mental health. Thank you so much, especially for that last sentence.
Yeah, that we're trying, guys. That
Kim and I have found this to be a wonderful place to talk about our own personal mental health. And I could not say more about the fact that saying it out loud, and as we call it in our book, naming the tarantula, has helped us grow and made us feel more connected to each other, and also, like, has helped us with our inner happiness, because happiness comes from within, true happiness, not from external sources, which I learned from a comedian.
I love how deep my husband just got there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thoughts of the day. Okay, guys, this is a good one.
Yeah, right? We've been actually chasing this guy down. He's kind of a big deal.
Let me be clear. We're going to be talking about, in the beginning of this podcast, some cryptocurrency and NFTs. If you've been curious about it, let this be a primer for you. I also want to be just our disclaimer. We are not people you should be taking financial advice from. So this is an opinion of an individual that has
more knowledge
than us, but he also has podcasts. He works in this field. So take that for what it is. I thought it was a great resource, but also know that, like, if you are listening to our podcast and then make a big, huge financial decision, that's on you. Okay. So, right. So we are seeking to understand. So we are trying to go to the people who know it the best, but as in anything, we are going to introduce you to this,
yeah.
But where you choose to spend your money, just, you know, be smart about it.
And this is some advice I've gotten. And I think this advice applies to literally everyone. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket if you can manage.
I don't know. We have friends that bought Apple stock, and that's all they've ever ridden on. So
that wasn't the only, but they, at the time that they did it, that was, they were very careful about being a certain percentage of their income to make sure that they were able to provide for their children and do everything else, and not, you know, put $1 million on a roulette wheel on black. You know what I mean? Right.
So here's the deal. We reached out to Matthew Diemer from Decrypt Media. He's the host of the Decrypt Daily Podcast. It's a daily podcast because that's how much these things change, where he takes listeners through breaking news and crypto market updates. He's interviewed a wide range of really fascinating guests. He talks about some of them. And I think that we are the least qualified people on this he's ever talked to. So we, our question of the day, nay, question of the year, is what is cryptocurrency
and what are NFTs?
And he gave us a primer, and now I'm willing to just dedicate my life to figuring it out. And before Matt joins us, let's give him a good proper music intro.
I rewrote this one.
Okay, it's here.
So I think it makes more sense. Here we go.
Come on. Let's go.
And we're going to see if we can turn that into a non-fungible token when we talk to our guest.
So welcome to the show, Matthew Aaron Diemer.
Or Matt, You can call him Matt. So it's funny, like when we were first meeting him, I said, what should we call you? And he said, whatever you want, Matt or Matthew. I said, I'm going to call you Matt. Kim said, I'm going to call you Matthew. And Matt said, well, that says a lot about you guys right now. And Matt, you're correct. We are those types of people.
Yes, Matthew. You are.
Well, thanks for being those types of people. And thanks for having me on the show.
Well, okay.
We need you. So badly.
Badly. You have a daily podcast.
I do.
And that is how fast these things are changing. I do believe, you know how when they play clips on the news about the news, when the news anchors found out about the internet for the first time, they're like, believe it or not, there's something called the World Wide Web and you can send mail electronic.
No way, Jill. I'm fine with my newspaper.
Yes.
I don't need that.
I don't
at
need
all.
That. So I feel like Diddle-y-dee. People are going to play this podcast in 10 years and make fun of us for how little we know about this.
I disagree.
But so that's where you come in, because we do we do want to know more, but I'm just letting you know how little we understand.
Right. This is ground zero. And so there is no amount of patronizing you can do and like talking down to us that is not going to be okay.
You would never.
You know what I mean? But you can say, okay, Holderness family, let's talk about this like you're a preschooler, because that's where we are on these things. But we want to know more.
Yes. We have a desire to learn.
All right, so let's do it. Let's get to know more.
Yes. Okay, so let's start. We want to cover both cryptocurrency and NFTs, because there's like an Instagram NFT situation happening now. But in the most basic preschool way possible, how would you describe cryptocurrency?
So cryptocurrency is something that is using blockchain technology. And blockchain technology...
So
imagine... I guess taking things that just link together, and that's why they call it the chain, right? So you can, so the, let's just say you have a number, let's call it one, and then you add one. Well, that's going to equal two. So you cannot change the in between of the number one plus one equals two. And then if you add another one to that, it's going to equal three. So starting from the beginning of one to the next one to the two that you have plus another one, there's nothing you can break in between. That's already the chain. And I guess blockchain technology works that same way, but with information. And the information could be a sender and a receiver of something.
Does that really matter when you're talking about investing? I mean, because understanding, you just explained it to me, and I'm going to nod my head and pretend like I totally understand what you just said, but I know there's so much more to what blockchain technology is. Do we really need to understand that to understand the investment part of it?
I think you do, because you have to understand the value of it.
Okay.
And because you have this immutable record that starts at the beginning, remember, once that chain starts with one plus one equals two plus one equals three plus one equals four, and you get to 1 billion, you can't break any part of that chain without breaking the whole equation, right? And that's important when it comes to these currencies, especially Bitcoin, where you need to have that confidence that that chain never can be broken, that that information stays intact, because we're talking about transferring value. And that's where Bitcoin gets its value, is that we know throughout the whole history of Bitcoin, none of the information within that chain can change and we have that same result now. And that means if I send you money, if I send you a Bitcoin or a piece of a Bitcoin, that's going to be recorded into this long chain of numbers. And we know for sure that Bitcoin is yours now. And if you send it to Kim, we know that that's going to be Kim's Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And so that's the importance of it. We have to know how secure this is and how transparent this is. So then people can buy Bitcoin and understand that it's actually good for what we say it's going to be used for, either a store of value or transferring value.
Yeah, because I think it's also important to know that the currency we use traditionally, this cash, I can go to an ATM machine, it's a piece of paper, but we assign it value. So when I was trying to, because we bought some Bitcoin, like a Bitcoin years ago, because I was like,
he's got his thumbs up.
Well, I was like, they're saying we should do this. And at the time, I mean, it was much cheaper than it is now. Or actually, I don't even know what it is right now.
It was, we bought it at the 2018 peak. So for a while we felt dumb.
Stupid.
And then, but we just held on to it, and now it's back.
And honestly,
up to
we don't understand it enough to like know whether to like buy or sell. So we're like, well, let's just keep it. And but when my dad was like, I can't believe you spent money on that, I'm like, well, the alternative is I have a bunch of it's paper versus this blockchain, which, and I don't understand how I that's why I think Penn asked, like, do we really need to understand it? Because I don't have an economics degree enough to understand like how our country can just go into the back and print money. And then send it to people and how that works and why it works. So, okay. So that's crypto on a basic level.
But that's a really good point. I want to just jump in really, really quick there. So we talked about the blockchain and why the ledger or the chain of this is immutable, that you can't change the numbers willy-nilly and, you know, get something else. Another feature of Bitcoin is that the supply of Bitcoin is fixed. It's capped at 21 million. And so you cannot make more Bitcoin. You can't have the government say, come in and say, hey, let's take that to 22 or 30. And that's another very important thing.
I loved that when I heard that. And then someone tells me that you can mine
for more
for Bitcoin. So that is more, right? Or are you mining for Bitcoin that already is there that hasn't been discovered? And why does this all of a sudden feel like Pokemon Go when you talk about mining for Bitcoin?
So mining for Bitcoin. Okay, so for your first question is, if you're mining for more, you are mining for more Bitcoin, but the cap number of Bitcoin to ever be mined is 21 million. Right now, there's maybe around 19 million Bitcoin out there, and there's still more
2 million
Bitcoin
to
be. Exactly, exactly. And when you're mining this Bitcoin, and you're looking for it, when you're trying to catch your Pokemon, what you're really doing in this whole process is adding your transactions to that long chain of events. And so when we say we're mining, we're actually taking your transaction and throwing it into that long chain of events and securing it into the blockchain. And so we know that it is immutable and everything in the whole ledger stays true.
So what do you, because there's more than Bitcoin in cryptocurrency. There's different, mm-hmm. there's a host of other ones. Mm-hmm. I think
Doge, Ethereum, Bitcoin Lite.
And what makes Bitcoin more stable, I would say. Well, what makes that the gold standard or whatever it is than the others, would you say? Or is it?
Well, okay, so Bitcoin started it all. And Bitcoin solved a lot of problems with digital currency. And digital currency has been kind of an experiment, even, you know, at the start of the internet. People were like, oh, we have a great idea. So if we're going to have this internet thing, we have to have internet commerce. And what's the best way to do that? But with internet money, right? And so this has been an experiment. But it always failed for different reasons. But Bitcoin solves a lot of those problems. And so once Bitcoin solved those problems, there was copycats saying, hey, we can do this too, but I'm going to just tweak it a little bit. Mm. And so that's when you get things like Litecoin that is basically Bitcoin, but they changed the parameters of Bitcoin to make it either a little bit faster to send, and they have more coins out there. And they're trying to make it cheaper and a faster, you know, way to transact. But Bitcoin, to be honest, is the gold standard. It solved the problems. It has never broken, has never went down. And so now we have this internet money that works in a way that, one, controls for inflation, and two, has security in place.
What do you think in 10 years when they replay this and they're like, I can't believe Kim and Penn didn't know about this. What do you see? Are we paying for cars, groceries, you know, things, you know, just with Bitcoin?
It's already happening.
Well, I know that's already happening, but is it like so widely used that if you don't have Bitcoin, you're not getting, you know, like some places are credit card only, some places are going to be Bitcoin only or crypto only?
I personally think that the development of this is going to be that Bitcoin is going to be a store of value. In 10 years from now, I think Bitcoin is going to be worth $100,000, $200,000, maybe $500,000 per Bitcoin. It's going to be thought of as like a digital gold. And the transactions will probably not be happening with Bitcoin. Your wealth could be there, but you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to use your wealth in Bitcoin just like any other asset. So I could be borrowing against my Bitcoin, which you said you had one. So let's just call it $500,000 of Bitcoin. And I'm going to take out a loan against this asset that I have. Or I'm just going to use it and sell it into another sort of currency, if it's a fiat currency like the US dollar or euro, or maybe these other digital assets. But I kind of see that the future of payments is still going to be in the digital way, controlled by either the Fed or big banks or MasterCard or Visa. And if there's a blockchain aspect to it, that's going to be a kind of like a underlining protocol or underlining platform that just, you know, helps facilitate those payments. And it could be that Bitcoin is used in different ways. There's something called the Lightning Network that allows Bitcoin to be sent very cheaply and quickly. But I think that in 10 years, Bitcoin is still going to be the gold standard of the whole digital asset space. And there's going to be other solutions built in, more so probably by legacy companies or federal like reserve banks.
We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. Is it not also possible that 10 years from now or even 1 year from now, the Bitcoin value is near zero?
I don't know if that's possible. I think it going down from where it is now is absolutely possible. But I also think that there's a lot of people understanding the value of money that is not inflated, the value of security in the digital aspect. And also, everybody's looking for an investment that is outside of the traditional spheres.
Agreed.
Because we know that there's manipulation on those different traditional spheres. We see the real estate prices going up. We do see institutional investors coming in and buying up swaths of houses and neighborhoods, jacking up the prices, and maybe pricing people out of the real estate market. So where do they go from there? We know that the diamond industry, it exists, some diamonds are worth something, but we know that was manipulated by a cartel. We know that the oil prices are now like either going one way or the other, manipulated by different things. How can we have an asset of investment without manipulation? And that's what Bitcoin is trying to solve. It has solved so far. The price will fluctuate just like any other asset. Gold has went up and down. Grain has went up and down. Oil has went up and down. House prices went up and down. Right. Bitcoin will too, but the security of that network will remain.
Okay. Last question. Bitcoin was celebrated as a place where anyone who has a computer and goes on a Reddit thread or like listens to podcasts can become very wealthy in a very short period of time. Early on, it was controlled and largely traded by those types of people. In the last year, it appears to have certainly made its way into mainstream, and in that way, also hedge funds, investments, everything else. How much of Bitcoin's success and value is controlled now by the top 1%?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that there are rich people buying a lot of Bitcoin, and they're doing that for a reason. And I think it's the reasons that we just said. I think that anybody here, let me just roll that back.
Yeah.
Everybody has the ability to buy a little Bitcoin right now. And I think it's the difference between understanding how to buy Bitcoin and also why you should buy Bitcoin. And if we're talking about investment, everybody should diversify in some way. You know what? You have a house here. Maybe you have some cash and savings. Maybe you buy a little stock. Maybe you have a retirement, a 401k. Bitcoin is the same way. You may want to add a little bit to your, and obviously this isn't financial advice, but this is, somebody might want to add a little bit to that. And so it's about managing your net worth, managing the amount of money you have, and leveraging that in that way to make sure that you are hedging just like the rich people. Rich people are always going to be able to hedge more than you. So if you're a billionaire, you can buy more houses, you can buy more gold, mm-hmm. you can buy more stock. It's just how it is. But the average person has access. Now, this is the change from before to now. Before, only accredited investors could buy stocks. Now it's open to, the mom and pop can go on Robinhood, sign up and buy mm-hmm. Buy a stock of Tesla. Now they can buy fractional stocks of Tesla. And the same thing with Bitcoin. You can buy a fractional piece of Bitcoin. So I would not say, let's look at how many they're acquiring. How about you acquire a little bit too? 0.1 Bitcoin, 0.01 Bitcoin, and build from there. So you can add that to your portfolio just like everybody else.
Right. So anybody listening, by the way, don't sell your house. And with any investment,
Not
that anybody's taking investment advice from us, just to be clear.
And I hope you understand why I asked that question. I just I'm just clearly not as plugged in as you are, but the whole GameStop bit where it felt like it belonged to the people, and then the next day it didn't. You know what I mean? Because these giant groups of money movers come in, and I want to make sure that I don't love it when that happens. Let's put it that way.
Right. Well, I think the GameStop was showed two things. I think it showed one, the power of the people to organize.
Sure.
GameStop was a loved company by some people. They have a little cult following. They organized in a public space, and then they pulled their money together organically, grassroots style, and made sure that the company stayed afloat because there was big institutional money trying to short it to close them down. I think the other aspect we saw there is when the cards are stacked against big corporations, they will shut people out of the system. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Robinhood. They stopped trades. They just shut it off because the average person was winning. So I think there's two things or multiple things learned there. One, grassroots do work. People can organize, for the average person, the mom and pop, the little guy, if you will. Two, the companies don't like that and they will shut you out. And three, companies do bet against the little guy or bet against the little guy so they can make a profit.
Mm. Okay, let's move on to NFTs, because what I know about, and this is definitely going to be replayed when we convert our entire business to NFTs, because right now I don't understand it. And right now it looks like JPEGs in my Instagram feed. So what is an NFT?
So an NFT is a non-fungible token. And what does that mean?
Yeah.
That means that one NFT is one NFT. So for example, if we take a picture of, maybe you said convert your whole business into NFTs. I think you guys have the perfect business for
NFTs.
That's
why we're calling you.
you honestly have the perfect business, the perfect audience, the perfect YouTube for this. I mean, with your family, you could have pictures and events and all kinds of things. And what happens is you can mint this NFT. That means create this picture, this JPEG, put it on the blockchain in this chain of information that we spoke about earlier, and make sure that it is unique to only that one. Now you can screenshot it and say, well, I got it too. No, you have a unique individual item. And now what we want to do is not just talk about how you can use it for your business. Maybe it's family pictures. Maybe it's travel locations. Maybe it's cool giveaways that you want to do. Maybe it's art that you and your kids made, you know, by yourselves. And then you're going to sell that just like, you know, Gary Vee is doing with his art. That's so cool. But also think about how it can be practical for our day-to-day lives. You know how many people put fake Harvard diplomas on their walls and then try to get job interviews with that, and they see it in their back and they just print it off the computer? Now imagine if an NFT was that one in one. Matthew Diemer, Harvard graduate, and at this date, and Harvard minted that on NFT. Nobody can fake that diploma now. Now show it to me. It's on the blockchain in that long chain of events that we talked about earlier, and it's unique to only me.
All right, so we need to go through the process, because you still don't, like, do you get it completely, Kim, or you?
No, because okay, I'm thinking that, like, our daughter's an artist. She just started summer break. I'm going to get her to work right now. I'm kidding.
Okay.
But could we do videos?
You absolutely should. But you, like, absolutely should.
Yeah, okay. She is a brilliant artist. Okay. But could you do a video NFT?
They are starting to offer more of like GIF or GIFs, however you pronounce it.
Oh, God, NFTs. Who knows? I'm glad you don't know that, by the way. I just feel like you look like the type of person who knows definitively if it's GIF or GIF, and I always just say GIF or GIF. Okay.
All right. So I want to go through the process of this so you can tell me, like, let's say we create one NFT, okay? And let's say that NFT, you said art, is a painting that someone in our family made, right? And so is it a picture of the painting, or is it the actual painting? Like, is it it's a JPEG of it? And then take me all the way through from the creation to where it goes, to whether or not it values or devalues, or if people can buy it. Will you just take me through the whole thing? Let's say it's a picture of a stick figure that I drew with a smiley face, and it's okay. Not even a good picture.
Okay, so you mentioned a lot of different things there, and there's a lot of different ways, yes, of people doing this. Mm-hmm. So let's just not take a picture of something that you drew. Why don't you draw that on your iPad? And that is the one of one. And then, okay, you take that the iPad stick figure that you had. What you would do is you would take that JPEG that you just drew, mm-hmm, save it as a JPEG. You would upload it to a blockchain or a platform, and you would put that picture on the blockchain. Now, you can call it one of one, so only one picture of that exists. You can also call it one of 10. And you can sell it as one of 10. So 10 people can go over there and say, man, I'm really stoked about Penn's drawings or Kim's drawings.
I'm going to do this,
drawings,
by the way. I'm going to draw a stick figure, but go ahead. Yeah.
And I want to own one. I really believe in that art that he's doing or she's doing. And so I then buy that art and I keep it for myself. There's no more because you only made 10 of them, let's just say. So that's one way to do it. You have beautiful pictures behind you. Now, say that's a physical picture. But what you want to do is you want to put it onto an NFT. You could take a very high resolution picture of that picture and then have somebody buy that NFT, that one of one, because you only have one picture. And that one of one NFT is a digital representation of that physical. They actually, Banksy, somebody did this with a Banksy about, I think, a year ago. They bought a Banksy for $100,000. And then they took a high resolution picture of that Banksy, turned it into an NFT, and then live streamed burning the Banksy. So the Banksy only now lives in the digital. So the value is now created because
it's the only,
the original is the only one that exists.
Sorry. Exactly. So he bought the Banksy for $100,000, you said, right?
And then,
he burned it. What's the value of the NFT right now?
Last year, when I recovered that news, it was $300,000.
So it tripled.
Okay. So then I, yes, buy, so I see Penn's stick figure on this platform, whatever it is. And I'm like, I want that. I'm going to pay $100 for that. Although I've seen them, ooh, go for, like,
not bad.
No, I know, but I've seen them go for like pennies to like 25,000. I mean, you're saying $300,000, but that's something different. Do I get emailed a JPEG? Like, how does that live?
So remember, this is in the digital and this is on a blockchain. So what happens is to have this access to that art, you have to connect it to your wallet. And so now all your art that you buy, if it's pens, stick figure, and then Kim, you draw something that's a little more sophisticated, those two will live within your wallet. And it's, and these wallets are either tied to certain blockchains. So you can have an Ethereum wallet, a Solana wallet, but your art will live in those wallets. And so there's people who have hundreds or thousands of pieces of art within their wallets. And they'll take that piece of art and maybe sell it on this place, or they'll display it in the digital. Some people I know have either a online digital gallery where you put on VR goggles, or you go in there to the porthole and look at all of their JPEG art that they have. And those are theirs. Some people put it on their TV in their living room, or they just hang a TV somewhere in their house and their JPEG art cycles through and they display it that way. But it is yours within your wallet.
Okay. All right. All right. Help me out here. So I make the stick figure. I upload it to the blockchain, right? And you said, like, if I sell it for $100, then that person owns it and I don't get to watch it go up in value. So the guy who did the Banksy photo, it's still like he would have to sell it for $300,000, or does he sell bits and pieces of it off? Like, how does, do you understand what I'm asking?
You guys say you don't know anything, but come on, you guys are actually literally light years ahead with this. So there's multiple ways to do this. Yes. So let's just say you sell that for $100.
The whole thing. My stick figure, but then it doesn't belong to me anymore, right?
That is true. However, the cool thing about this new digital economy is you have these kind of like micro payments, and since it's on that long chain of events, we always know where it started. It started with you. And so you can make commission off of every time it's bought and sold.
Oh.
And so they can see, okay, and this will never go away. No matter who holds it, they'll see who had it and who owned it and where it started. So it started with you. You say, I want to make 10% every time this is bought and sold. And you could do that for the entirety of its life.
Is that a reasonable thing to ask? Is that a reasonable percentage, or what is normally the commission going rate?
You know, I've seen everything from 2, 3, 5, 10, 20. It depends on the product and the project, you know, and it depends on like what you want people to do with it. If you want people to hold it because you want them to enjoy your art, maybe you just want to make a huge, you know, percentage so they keep it in their wallet and not just kind of like flip it back and forth. But if you want it just to move around and see and create a market, maybe create that, you know, down, maybe put that percentage down more. So it encourages people to buy and sell it.
So because I thought when this came up to the person who brought up NFTs to us, it was last year, our friend's son was coming to intern. I'm using air quotes because it's like really hard to intern with us. And we asked him to come with ideas. And one of his ideas is like, you should be creating NFTs with your content. And so, but I have not seen any like a video way to do that. And, but then I was like, so it's basically like Cameo, but selling it on blockchain is what it sounded like. So, and then when I saw Instagram was getting into it, I was like, oh, maybe this is how it happens. So Instagram is like letting people post their, do you understand what's happening on Instagram right now?
I'm not too sure what's happening on Instagram, but what I would say is that there are very robust marketplaces out there, but in the blockchain space, a lot of people are getting into NFTs because of the, I guess, the buzzword, the hype of it. We're going to do NFTs and they are individual. But unless you're putting it on, like, say, the Ethereum blockchain, I don't see that there's a lot of value in that. So it has to be tied to a blockchain, and there has to be a marketplace where people can buy and sell and communicate in a way of transacting with that. And you guys do a lot of video content, but again, people want to know your family. People want to know who you are, the behind the scenes. The behind the scenes could be turned into a lot of JPEG or GIF NFTs that could really be something special for your fans. I mean, I was just talking to somebody the other day about... Okay, next, let me say this. Gary Vee. Everybody should know who Gary Vee is. He has an NFT collection. And so he just made doodles, put it on his iPad, minted those NFTs. And now those NFTs are being used for different perks with him. So he just did something called VCon. And if you bought an NFT from him, he put on a conference. So everybody who owns those NFTs got free tickets to go meet Gary Vee. Maybe your family could do something like that. And you do like, but maybe it's a Holderness family barbecue. Everybody who buys one can come to a Holderness family barbecue, meet us, hang out, cook burgers, drink our cold beverages in the summer, and it'll be a great thing.
I guess I'm also just like under, like, I don't feel like anybody would buy something or want to hang out with us. Yeah, so it's
then they own NFTs.
I would like to hang out with you.
Right. Oh, I would. I mean, but honestly, I know we have like a time limit here, but like this is like
I want to pivot. I thank you for explaining all of this, and you're using us as an example, and I think that's smart. We do have a platform that might make it easier for us to sell these things. Tell me why someone who doesn't really have like a huge digital platform would be smart to look into either creating or getting into NFTs.
What NFT has done for artists, for example, and I think artists is the low-hanging fruit here, is they created a marketplace that exposes them to money throughout the world without having a physical gallery or trying to promote their website, right? I know two artists that I could tell you about right now. One, he was a guy who was living in Mexico City. He was one of the first NFT artists that I've had on my podcast or I spoke to. He was a banker, had four kids, going to work every day, but you know, he liked to do art at night. Or whatever he did, didn't sell anything about it, turned it all into digital, just made it in NFTs. He is now, I think he's probably multi-million dollar person now. He has houses in multiple places. He works full time just making his NFTs, but that was because of the exposure to his art. And now he got to, you know, focus down on that and they had a marketplace. There's somebody else I know who is living in the Philippines. And she is a, you know, website designer, you know, graphic designer by day. And she just likes to, you know, dabble with color and art and whatever. So she mints her NFTs and she's not making a lot of money for it. But now she has a gallery of a lot of art that people have bought, $20, $100 here and there. But, you know, it's just making people, you know, get that access. So you don't have to have this great, you know, following or whatever. I think when you with a great following, you can leverage it for that following and the people who like to listen to you or talk to you mm-hmm. about your family or see what you guys are doing. But the average person, the artist, the person that has this kind of like, I don't know, this hobby, this passion, now it gives them an ability to mint their art, create limited supplies of their art, and get exposure to a whole global audience.
I love this because my daughter is 15. She's a brilliant artist. Like she just naturally, she's taken her first art class this year and it's like mind blowing the stuff she's creating. And we are the parents that are encouraging like art school. And she's thinking of, you know, math and sciences, which she's also great at. It's fine. And if being a doctor is your passion, that's great. But she literally said to us, like, being an artist, you make no money.
And then she referenced Van Gogh.
And then she's like, and then they all kill themselves. And like, she's like, they seem so tortured and I don't want that life. So we're trying to do the parent thing where we're letting her make a decision. But essentially we're artists. I'm using air quotes. Yeah, we're writers and
But not in like the pure sense that we sit in front of an easel all the time, but definitely our creativity comes from training in the arts.
Right. So I just love that for artists right now that like there is a space that's rewarding their creativity. I have to say something, that's why I was so skeptical because the stuff I saw online, and I'm not an artist. I'm like, I could do that. Like that, I'm like, why would anybody?
That's not the point, though.
I know, I'm like, why would anybody want that? Like,
the point is, you can't do that because it's been done, and that is a one of a kind, right?
Yeah.
So,
exactly, it's one of a kind. So, you know, when you're talking about your daughter and this, first, check out an artist called. Well, first, the two I mentioned. One, the Mexican artist. His name is Carlos Mercal.
Okay.
He's on Twitter and also Beeple. If you guys should know Beeple, he's sold the most expensive NFT. He's
Beeple?
Sold for
B-E-O-P.
Yeah,
I'm writing this down.
B-E-E-P-L-E.
Okay.
And he does. He sold the most expensive NFT I think to date for $69 million. It's a little bit of money, yeah.
Okay.
I interviewed him. He was really upset that he paid 50% tax because of that. But I was like, you're still okay, dude. You're okay.
You're good.
But
you're good.
You're good. But you know, so, but his art is also like, he works in this digital and, you know, 3D art and a lot of political or societal commentary on that. He does one every day. But you know, what I want to say about artists in general is we say artists with easels and artists doing this, and how do we transfer that easel into the digital? Well, once you give an artist, someone who's creative, the tools that are allowed by an NFT, an iPad, and the digital, now they get to expand their creativity differently. So I always like to see how they transfer from the physical to the digital, because it actually opens them up a little bit more to tap into a new kind of creativeness. And that's what I'm seeing.
I'm so excited about this because Penn could write he could write 10 new songs a day, and he writes a new song every day, even just singing around the house. So when
I wrote one for you.
Yes. He
should I play it?
Yeah, like, I mean, literally we came upstairs at 10:20 to record this, and I was opening up the thing, I was getting the Zoom link, I was like figuring out, and I was like, oh, how do I say his last name? And he's like, let me record an intro song. Yeah, let's play it.
Come on,
let's do it.
Let's call up.
it. That's the song.
So
it's a jingle.
So you'll just Venmo
5 minutes.
Or send us.
You're the expert.
You're the expert. Send us some cryptocurrency for that. You're welcome. But like those sorts of things, I'm like, let's.
Well, there's yeah. So NFTs are audio.
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, people like Snoop and Timbaland and I think Pharrell, they're dabbling with the NFT space with audio. And so actually it was Timbaland that did a really cool thing with NFTs. He made a suite of different beats and people can purchase the different, I guess, hooks or beats or clips or bars and mix and match those NFTs with different people and collect them and make original audio that are different NFTs by the different ownership that people have. And so I think that was a really cool idea. If you understand what I was
Totally. And like people, and then they can then sell that.
So you can put a WAV file or an MP3 into the blockchain.
I'm not too sure how it works. On the tech aspect of it, I'm not too sure. I just know that he has done that.
Okay.
And I'm sure by tomorrow, because everything changes so fast, like that'll happen. So you have a daily, tell us where people can find you, because I know you do this daily. And so for us talking for a half hour, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So how can people find you and follow you?
So you can follow me at The Decrypt Daily. I'm on Spotify and iTunes, The Decrypt Daily, Decrypt Daily. My name is Matthew Diemer, D-I-E-M-E-R. But also I am running for Congress, federal Congress as well. And you can find me at DiemerForCongress.com and to learn more about myself and my political campaign. But Daily Show, Decrypt Daily, Spotify, iTunes, and Diemer for Congress. If you're a political person.
Thank you for your patience and for helping us understand this. And hopefully you helped a lot of people today. I think it's clear this isn't going away. I can't wait to hear how ridiculous we sound in 10 years. As Kim says, when we're like, what is this worldwide interweb?
What's this worldwide interweb?
But I feel like I know more. And I think it just really the key is to, you've got to explain it to people like they're in preschool. For real.
I still have so many more questions.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I'm also converting our business entire to NFTs. So
done. Yeah,
thank you. And scene. So thank you again, Matthew, for joining us. I think.
Are you there?
So it's one of those things in my brain. Like it's like when you start describing things in space, like black holes, my brain, it's like, I can feel the wheels turning and it's like my brain almost gets there and it's like, mm-hmm. No, that's too hard. That's too hard. So I don't think it's something I need to fully understand, but I do have to have confidence in it in order to invest money into it.
Well, that's why I asked him, and I'm sure he's right, but there is a part of me that I think has to acknowledge that this whole thing could break down and collapse.
So could our traditional financial system.
But it could collapse for reasons different from the reasons why our financial system collapses.
So it's interesting. Over the Super Bowl, you saw all these crypto ads in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was Larry David did one of them.
Yes.
I mean, I'm like, did Larry David get paid in crypto? Or did he get paid in cash? So
I think you can negotiate one way or the other. There was a San Francisco 49ers tight end or a linebacker or somebody who asked to be paid entirely in crypto. And he was for like his entire year's salary was in cryptocurrency. So again, crypto is just, it has a lot of similarities to a dollar, right? It is a symbol. A dollar is just a piece of paper. You pointed that out very well, Kim. It is obviously more volatile if you look at what happens to the value of the dollar versus the value of a Bitcoin, or particularly some of the lower kind of up-and-comer cryptocurrencies. To me, I like the understanding of NFT, I would like to continue my understanding, and this is just the beginning of that journey.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so we're going to do something that we're probably more qualified to do than talk about cryptocurrency, which is play Would You Rather.
Hey, it's time for everybody's favorite weekly game. Yeah, both of these options are unbearable. Gotta choose one, even though it is terrible. Let's play Would You Rather, starting now. Hey, all right.
Yes.
Okay, so if somebody would like to buy that, I'm going to put that on the blockchain. I don't even know what that means. Okay.
You really didn't learn that much today, did you?
I did. I learned that my daughter has an iPad. She wants a summer job.
She's going to make NFTs.
Girlfriend is going to get to work.
Yep.
I'm kidding. Would you rather lose, this is a serious one, would you rather lose all the money or Bitcoin you've earned this year or lose all the memories you've gained this year?
So let's just say money you've earned this year, because not a lot of people are going to be able to say Bitcoin.
I was just going with a theme.
I got you. Oh, that was funny, honey. I'm sorry. It's just... You said it was serious. Okay, would I rather lose all the money ever in this year or lose all of the memories? Oh, you've gained. I'd rather lose all the money. And look, this is coming from someone who won $1 million.
That we haven't been paid yet.
Yeah, I mean, but it's coming. We know it's coming. I would not trade. So I'll just say I would not trade all the memories I've gained this year for one half of $1 million with California tax on top of it.
I know. And then we're sharing it. So we just did the math today of how much we're keeping. It's, believe me. It's
great.
It's great.
Even if it was $1 million, do you really like, yeah, memories. Come on. Yeah. I got two parents who are in skilled nursing who don't remember most of their lives. Like that's the real currency right there. We had some fun stuff this year, including being able to watch our kids watch us win the Amazing Race. Like that was incredible.
It still feels weird to talk about. I'm like, ooh, can we talk about that? It's over. We can talk about it. But seriously though, we won it last October 6th. 2021. It wasn't this year.
No, I know, but I'm talking about the memories. Go ahead.
I'm going to say wipe the slate clean, keep the cash. This year.
So is that because of all the other horrible crap that's happened this year? Okay. That makes sense. I hear you. This has been a really crappy couple of weeks that we talked about last week. And I did not think about that. And I know, and I'll say it again, like I could feel your rage and your vibrations.
Still raging.
Well, you're coming out of it. And, but there was a period where I knew, and this is just you, like not to touch you, not to come near you, to like, that is not your love language in that point. Your love language is giving you space, giving you empathy, and trying to give you as much support as possible from a safe distance.
So, so by the way, we're still raging and calling and doing all those things. So I think that's a series. So a silly one, would you rather drink ketchup through a straw or eat mayo with a spoon?
Are you kidding me with that question?
Penn hates mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And like,
what's wrong with ketchup through a straw? That sounds incredible.
It sounds, I would rather, I like mayo. I would just do a spoonful of mayo.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a lot of depth to that one. I guess if it's ketchup through a straw, it's kind of watery ketchup, and there's nothing I hate more than watery ketchup. Catsup. My favorite ketchup is still the glass Heinz bottle that takes a while to come out.
I don't need ketchup as much as I need mayonnaise and mustard. Like a good sandwich has mayonnaise and mustard to me.
That's deep, babe.
I know. Okay. Moving on, my friends. We're supposed to come up with a better transition because our producer, Anne Marie, is like, you just kind of intro and go and hit play and intro. So let's for her come up with a better way. Hey, Penn. You know some of my favorite things right now?
Funny TikTok videos that she's rocking. Scarves for her necklines and dresses with pockets. Stuff she discovered and joy that it brings. These are a few of Kim's favorite things.
And I'm going down.
So, hey guys, I didn't say this was going to be fun or impactful, but you know what I'm super into right now? A good, like, neck scarf. He just mentioned
the
scarf.
Like it was the in the song.
Like the kerchief. I am super.
Don't call kerchief. It a kerchief.
Ma and her kerchief. Like a handkerchief. I'm super into it. You're going to see it. And I'm super into it. Very Diane Keaton-esque. And that's my, there's these ones, Madewell makes them. I'll link to them. I'm super into them.
So I bought you some for Mother's Day or your birthday or something. And they're all still sitting in your car.
Yeah, I was going to return.
You haven't opened them yet. Them. What? I don't.
I was taking them to the UPS store to return them.
What did I do wrong?
They're a little
with my
large.
Kerchief purchasing.
They were really large and like silk.
My kerchief purchase.
So I think they were just like more scarves than kerchief. So I meant to take him to the UPS store to return them, and I think that's now expired.
Let the record show I was trying to support your new interest.
I should have just given you a link.
You did not.
I did not. No. I said, just buy like a little neck scarf handkerchief. we bought like these like silky scarves. Yeah.
We've talked about this before. When Kim opens a gift that she thinks sucks, she has the worst tell ever. It's like a bad poker tell. Her eyes get really, really wide and she goes, ooh. And I've seen her do it to relatives. I've seen her do it to, like, it's so funny. It's her being polite, but as soon as she makes that noise, I know that she hates it, and she did it when she opened those scarves. And I've noticed them. They just haven't even, how do you know you don't like them? They haven't been opened. Did you open one of them and just decide the rest of them are going to suck?
Them all. And then I just looked at the size of them and I was like,
too big. It's too much pen.
Too much pen.
Yeah.
And so I printed out the little Amazon thing to return it. Sorry, because you ordered it. We have like one shared Amazon account. And then I was just going to take it to the UPS store and then I kind of forgot.
Okay.
I'm sorry, honey.
It's okay.
Oh, does that, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Do you get like sad if I return a gift?
No, not that one. That was like, I got you like a big gift. And that was like here's some other stuff. So you didn't think I just did one thing.
Which is like, you could just.
But I did. I thought you might like them.
Yes.
It's okay. I'm sorry. Women are very.
Now I feel bad.
No, you're very. Women are particular.
Well, yeah. And I should have just given better instruction.
That's okay. Mature people ask for what they want.
Mature people ask for their money. Hey, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. This was a lot. If you're still listening, know that I appreciate you. And if we caused more confusion than we cleared things up, I'm also sorry. So
I think just mainly listen to what he says and ignore us. that's my advice.
Okay, love you.
Bye. Bye.